Perikei Pasuk Dalet. Okay, Vatamer. So here is where Esther begins, and this Pasuk begins to implement her plan. Vatamer Esther, Imal Melech Tov, Yavoi HaMelech V'Haman Hayoim El HaMishtasher Asisilo. Let the king and Haman. Haman is a very big surprise. Why Haman? From all of the officers, this was the plan of Esther. Let them arrive today. Let them come today. El Hamishteh, to the party Asher, which Asisilo, which I will prepare on behalf of him. Asher Asis.
Did she have a ruach for this plan? Did she just make up the plan?
Good question. Doesn't say. Did she this plan with the Ruach HaKodesh? Did Mordechai tell? Is there more? Mordechai was telling her this was her own idea. I don't know. I have no idea. It's a very new, I don't think we would think of this, right? We would never think of such an elaborate plan. One party to another party, and to invite Haman. What was her goal? The goal was to create, we'll see soon, Chazal, to create a degree of jealousy. Okay, let's see. Let's go slow. Let's first see Rashi, the Targum, and I'll quote, read some Gemara. Let's see Pasuk Dalet over here in the Rashi first. Yavoh Melech V'Haman, Rabbi Sin Amru, Ta'amim Harbe B'Davar. Okay, I'm going to read the Gemara in a few moments. The Gemara tells us the many different reasons. B'Davar, Ma Rosa Esther Shezimna Es Haman. What was Esther thinking? Why was this part of her plan? Why was it essential for her plan that Haman should be invited to this party? Kidei Lekanoi Bamelech Uvesarim. Now right away Rashi over here, even though he tells us that we have many different reasons, Rashi on his own right away says he seems to focus on either the common denominator, the common thread that runs through all the different reasons, which is not really so clear. Well, okay, we'll see in a moment.
Just the first reaction would be that once she saw that Ahasuerus, he extended his scepter for her to come,
yeah,
that the time was right, that maybe the mood had changed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was implementing something, that she was saved over here. She thought that it was a good moment here to seize the moment here to further her.
Right, so the big question is, if it was such a good moment, why didn't she ask Ahasuerus then and there to reverse, to annul the decree? Why did she go two steps, come tonight to a party, then come to another party, and then did she finally present her case?
Yeah,
if she... What?
He might have gotten so angry.
Oh, exactly. So it's a risk. It's everything. You don't know when the time is right. If at this moment in time he was so kind to her, and according to the Medrash, he hugged her and kissed her and embraced her, and he tells her, "Chatzi hamalchus v'sinasei lach," you would think, "Wow, he's in such a good mood." If she would at this moment reveal, I'm Jewish, and Haman has issued a gzeirah, l'hashmid l'harog, maybe at this moment he would have said, okay, we're going to reverse the decree. But Esther was not willing to ask him at this moment in time. There's more. Okay, it's not. Let's see what it says over here. Let's go one step at a time. So the Rashi over here says that her logic was k'dei l'kana b'melech of Solomon, in order to make Haman, he should be a source of jealousy to the king and to all of the sarim. The goal over here is that Haman should be weak. She wanted to weaken Haman's position. Since Haman is the architect of this gezerah, in order to reverse the gezerah, we have to damage the architect. We have to show that there's a problem with the person who has advocated this gezerah. Who is the architect? Haman. He's the one who composed. He's Haman. So we're going. He's going to do something now to put Haman in a weak position. How do you damage a person's reputation? So this is brilliant. You make him the source of jealousy. When everyone in the community is jealous of this person, that creates a vulnerability, a weakness, and he's an easy target to knock down. Why is Haman weak? If Ahasuerus is disturbed, why is Esther inviting Haman as well to this party? Maybe there's a conspiracy. Maybe Esther likes, she has a crush on Haman. She wants to marry him. There's something improper that's taking place. There were seven officers, and from all of the seven officers in the cabinet, the only one that's invited to come to this exclusive party is Haman. There is jealousy. When there's jealousy, people are are searching to take that person down. And the best way to take the person down is to destroy what they've worked hard to accomplish. He has worked hard to accomplish a law to destroy Lahashmin Laharog. If we will show that this law is unjust, is cruel, it is not in the best interest of the Malchus, that will undermine his stature in society. So it's a brilliant plan. Okay, it takes a brilliant mind to think of this, but that's what she did. To make him the source of jealousy, the melech from the king, uvesarim, shehamelech yachshav shehu chashuk oleha v'yahargenu, because the king will think that he has a desire for Esther. There's some type of behind the scenes relationship that's taking place, and there's an affair that's going on here between Haman and Esther. The oyd ta'amim rabim, and many other reasons, which we'll read in a few moments. We'll get to a few moments. Period. Okay, so that's what he thinks. He says he starts off. He sees this very strange Rashi. He starts off by telling us Amru ta'amin harbe badavar. And then he goes on, he tells us one reason, and then Rashi repeats himself, and he says, V'od ta'amin rabim. Obviously, Rashi felt this was the ikar. Let's go to the next words. El hamishteh, kol su'uda nikres al shem hayayin shehu ikar. Okay, this is what really this really captures the whole theme of Purim, that this was a mishteh hayayin. He told them to come that evening to a party. It wasn't a party of food, it was cocktail hours. Right? It was just to serve some champagne, to serve some yayin, and we're calling it a suda because the ikar suda is called suda nikres al shem hayayin shehu ikar. Is that really true? Is that really true that the suda... Okay, I don't know. I don't know more. Let's see the Targum. Pasig Dalit. The Targum says, Vamaras Esther... In Al Malka Shapir Yese Malka V'Haman Yomodain, let the king and Haman come on this very day, Lish She Rusa, to the party, the Avdas Lachon, that I will make Lachon for them. Now notice it says here the word Lo, Ashur, Sisi Lo. This is an interesting point. It should say, Yavo Hamelech Haman Hamel HaMesha Ashur, Sisi Lohem. Right? Why does it say the Pasuk Lo in the singular? Why does it say lo? So this also was part of the intrigue. She said the word lo, I'm going to make for him. Achashverosh was confused. For whom is the party? Is the party for Haman, and I'm just a guest? Or is the party for me, and Haman is the guest? Now, if Esther would say the party is for Haman, and you, the king, are just a guest, that's a lurid b'malchus. Esther can be killed for such a thing. To say that you, Achashverosh, you're Tofel, you're secondary to Haman. But so Esther couldn't possibly. So there's always a way out. Esther can always say, "I never said that. You took my words out of context. How dare you go and accuse me of rebelling against the king when I said lo, I meant the party is for the king, and Haman is the guest." But if that's the case, you should have been more explicit. Or you should have said the party is for both. Asher asisi lohem. This was a psychological wedge that she planted in his mind that maybe Achashverosh can think to himself, Esther, she slipped. It's a Freudian slip. She really has revealed here that the Iker party is low, is for Haman. That's who she's trying to come close to. And Achashverosh is just there as a guest, and that obviously would make him jealous, would get him angry, and that would weaken Haman's position, and hopefully Esther will be able to overturn the Gezerah. Now,
if she wanted just to be with Haman, why would she invite the king?
Why would? Because if she was alone with Haman, that would not go off well in the media. They would right away start saying things that are going on in the White House that are not proper. What? It would not go off well when they would discover that Esther is meeting privately with Haman. They're going to say, "What's going on over here? This is impropriety. This is she's having an affair." And you can imagine how many copies of the National Enquirer will be sold. The stocks will go up all the way to the sky. So in order to hold her back, she cleverly was able to have a nice, good time with Haman. But it's all legal. No one's going to say anything because this is all being done right in front of her husband. Achashverosh will be there at that party. Now let me go to the...
Hey, when you read the Pasuk,
Okay, but she could have been more explicit. She could have said Elamisha Asher Asisi. She does not even need to say the word lo. Or if you want to say both Asher Asisi Lohem or Asisi Lamelech, the fact that she adds in this one little word, it's placed. She is playing with the mind of Achashverosh.
Why is it in the third person, not in the second person, if she's speaking directly?
That's the Derech Eretz. That's there when you speak to a king, you have to speak with Derech Eretz.
The second thing it says,
the second time. So the first time, it's more intriguing. She's trying, at least Rashi's pointing out, at least in his main interpretation, that he's trying to.
There's also another word. He says that CC is in the past. I made already the
admission. Asher. It doesn't say Asher Asi, Asher Asi. I've already prepared. It's all prepared, ready to go. Okay, interesting. I didn't pick that up. It's a good point. Only it's already been prepared.
The Megillus Starm said a very interesting point over here, that he was beginning to suspect what she might want, the fact that he thought maybe she's a Jew and she wants to say something. But when she invited Haman, who was the chief architect of the Gezerah, it threw him off. And then he sort of like thought already that she's not Jewish, otherwise she wouldn't have invited Haman, her arch nemesis who made the Gezerah. And therefore, he said to Sayyas, he says the first time he says, be enough in law, he was trying to entice her to tell him what she wants. But then after she invited Haman, he changes and he says, Akatsiya Malchus for Sayyas, it'll get done. In other words, then he was already off his. He stopped suspecting her at that point after she invited Haman. I mean, he just makes a
Yip
in the Lashon.
That's just the opposite.
Okay, now the Gemara actually has many interpretations of why she invited. Let me recall some of the main reasons. One of the most important reasons is Esther saw that Klal Yisrael was the fast was going better than expected. Leich Kenoises Kol HaYehudim Animsim B'Shushan they were davening, and she wanted to be mechazik them. And the best way to be mechazik them is to say, "Don't rely on me." People have a tendency to think that if we have a representative of the Jewish people in the White House, in government, we have nothing to worry about, everything is going to go okay. When word spread that Esther is having a party during our fast day with Achashverosh and also invited Haman, it created the impression that Esther abandoned the Jewish people. She abandoned the Jewish people. And the Klal Yisrael was in a very great state of confusion. What here has she done? How could it possibly be that she abandoned Klal Yisrael? And this worked to the advantage that they realized, Ein lanu lihishoin ela al avinu shebashamayim. The only thing that we can rely on.
Why wasn't more for like the public relations person to explain it?
Maybe Mordechai did not know this plan was on this part. Mordechai told her very simply, go to the king and tell him to mevatel the gezerah. Maybe Mordechai did not know of this elaborate plan, one party to another party.
At this point, did they know from the Jews?
At this point, it seems not. It's explicit in the past that he did not know. It could be they suspected. It could be Klal Yisrael did know she was Jewish. Let's assume they did know, but they kept it among themselves. They kept it a very big secret. But it's explicit in the pasuk that Achashverosh asked her, please tell me, who are you? So Achashverosh, it could be that he suspected that she was Jewish, but he did not have proof. He did not know with certainty. That was still concealed.
Did he even know that Esther was Jewish all along?
It seems they did. It was a secret. That's what I remember reading, that they did know, and that's one of the miracles of the story of Purim, that of all the people of Klal Yisrael, no one spilled the beans. No one, everyone kept quiet.
It's very similar to Yisrael's
trying. But as for the details of the plan, I don't see why the people had a need to know.
They did not know. Even Mordechai, seems.
Mordechai very possibly knew, but the people in general didn't need to know. It was top secret.
Okay, now let me read you the Gemara. I'm reading you the Gemara word by word. Since Rashi quotes, and we're learning this being, let's read. I read you what it says here in the Sarasi Bavadinos, he quotes the Gemara, Mara Osa Esther Shezimna Es Haman. What was Esther thinking when she played, when she invited Haman? So many of the reasons are similar. Here we go. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Pachim Tom Nolo. She planted coals. She was setting up Haman for failure. Shenema, he, a trap. Oh, I'm sorry. Pachim is a trap. He, may their table be before the enemies of the Jewish people as a trap, which means she wanted to. Which means, according to the Pshat, I think Rashi in the Gemara, what she wanted to do was to flatter Haman in order. Exactly, full sense of security. She was setting him up. In other words, she was ultimately planning to say ish. Her the words on the tip of her tongue that were ready to come out. Ish tsar v'oyev hamon haro hazeh. Now, when a person is under attack, it's very critical to know what to say at that moment. At the moment when you're under attack, your first words that come out of your mouth are critical. First thing you say is, "I want a lawyer." Right? I want a lawyer. Don't say that you have a right. And that's why, you know, there's something, that's why in America, Din Shel Chesed, the first thing they do when they arrest a person, Rahman, listen, we've all seen this on television, hopefully not in real life, is Miranda. You have a right to remain silent. Right? You have the Miranda rights. You have a right to remain silent. Anything you say that can and will be used against you in a court of law. Okay, so there is, so when a person is, a person is caught off guard, there is a very great danger in what you're going to say at that moment in time. If a person confesses his crime, he's obviously in a lot of trouble. If he keeps his mouth quiet and thinks about it, then he has a solution how to make believe he didn't do anything, or somehow to wiggle out of it. Here, Haman, if Haman knew that his day was coming, he was suspect that the authorities are coming in hard on him, that Esther is going to accuse him of, "You are ish tsar v'yayif Haman haro hazeh." Haman, who was a clever fellow, he would have immediately planned the defense. He immediately would have planned a way to wiggle out of any accusation. "I didn't know that Esther is Jewish, and I never said to kill all the Jewish people. I only said to kill Mordechai," and whatever. He could have went and come up with all these excuses. That's all if Haman had a sense that something is wrong. The goal of Esther here is to create Gan Eden for Haman, which indeed is very deep, because indeed it says here in a few moments, Haman will go out, Lufnei HaMelech, Someach V'tov Lev. Chazal are deeply disturbed with these words. Someach V'tov Lev is a holy expression. It's an expression which means that Yemoli Simcha Shal Mitzvah, Tov Lev, you have Yirah Shemayim. There are other expressions, he actually cites other expressions we find in Tanakh that would have been seemingly more appropriate to be used by a Rasha, by an evil person, when he's in a state of complacency and simcha and joy. Yet it says here, and this, and the truth is, this really is what was the goal of Esther, that in order to create for Haman a feeling of simcha v'tov lev, complacency. In a million years, he never would have expect for Esther to suddenly thrust upon him ish tsar v'yayif Haman harazeh, and this was by design to throw him off balance. He will not have the presence of mind to defend himself and say something that will allow him to live, to wiggle out of the death sentence that Ahasuerus would immediately put upon Haman. So that's exactly what this is the first interpretation. Now what Rashi quoted, that she's trying to create a degree of jealousy between Haman and Ahasuerus. According to the first opinion of the Gemara, she's laying a trap. She's building him up into a state of full security and complacency, so that when it will be put upon him, the gezerah, he will not, the accusation, he will not know what to respond. That is number one. Number two, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Mibes of Yolamda, Shenema, she learned from her father Shaul, Imrov Soinacha Hachilil Lechem, that which means, which again, I don't know the difference in this interpretation. If your enemy is hungry, feed him bread. Okay, I think it's on a very simple level, it's the same idea. It's to create a false sense of security. Okay, next, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kadesh Lo Yitel Eitzav V'Yimroit. They should not, that should be, Esther saw that Haman's success at this point in time was so great, there was a real possibility for a coup to happen, and Haman would become the new Melech. It would not take much for Haman to gather his supporters and
raise an army,
and then just say, Achashverosh, you know what? I'm more popular than you. I think you should stand down. I'm now going to be the new Melech. And if Haman was in charge, there's no hope. There's absolutely no hope. I'll be derech hateva for Esther to be able to do something. This was a real concern. See, we are lacking. The Gemara is giving us insights into what exactly was going on behind the scenes during this era. During this era, Achashverosh thought that he is in control, but he was on the verge of being removed from office through a coup that was being developed by Haman. Esther says, wow, my timing. This is the worst time possible. I now at this moment need to speak to, while Achashverosh still has power. It seems like it was almost imminent, according to this interpretation of the Gemara, that Achashverosh was going to be deposed. He was going to be removed by Haman. And when Haman comes to power, she'll have no chance to convince Haman to annul the decree, when he is the one that made the decree, and she has nothing special. She was hated by Haman because Haman wanted his own daughter to be the queen. So therefore, what she did was, let me do something now to solidify the power of Achashverosh. I will make a party and will invite Haman. Haman will get so much honor at this party, he won't think, at least at this moment, for the next couple of days, he'll calm down. He's not going to plan to overthrow Achashverosh. This is the Gemara's third interpretation. It was nothing more than just a necessary evil of the time because of the danger of Haman overthrowing Achashverosh. Number four, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kidei Shelo Yakiru Bo Shehi Yehudis. People already were suspicious. There was a lot of talk. The newspapers already were reporting that reported that Esther was seen in intense discussion with Mordechai. And Esther was talking to Hasoch. And Esther was talking to the Malachim, Gavriel and Michael. Already there was a lot of talk in the street that what's going on over here? Esther is Jewish. In order to dismiss and to diminish these reports, she meets with Haman and with Achashverosh. Haman, the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, she meets with Haman. Oh, I'm buddy with him. How could it possibly be that a person who is a Jew would want to have a party and celebrate with Haman? It was a technique in order to downplay reports in the media that Esther was Jewish. Answer number five. Answer number five is Rabbi Nechemiah Makedesh Shalom Yom Yisrael Achoy Slanul Bebeis HaMelech V'yasichu Daita Min HaRachmim. I mentioned that before to you, that people should not say that we don't need to be misfollowed. Why are we fasting 3 days? 1 day is enough. 3 days? We have Heshtadlos, we have a queen in the base in the palace, and she's Jewish, and certainly she is working her hardest to save us. She did not want people to think that. She wanted to mislead them, that she has changed, she has abandoned them, and that way they instead will intensify their prayers. Answer. Right, as I said before, I quoted this place. So that's answer number five. Number six. What? Because by inviting Haman, if Esther really is trying to help the Jewish people, it's not logical why she would want to invite Haman. Why would she? So the fact that she's inviting Haman is an indication that she has abandoned the Jewish people, that she's also part of the plan. That's right, the Jewish people, they don't pay taxes. It's not good for the government. It's not good. She can't raise money for her wardrobe and for her parties. So, that's right, let the Jewish people be destroyed. Me, the queen, it's not going to happen to me. I'm an exception. I am the queen. The queen, there's no way in the world that Haman's going to succeed in killing me. But the people, the Jewish people, so too bad for them. When people, they got that sense, they intensified their prayers, realizing, Ein lanu lihisha, Ein ela al avinu
shebashamayim. By everyone, by the Jews that got together?
This was after the Jews had gotten together.
This is why you didn't take this why they fasted? Why
it because they were still, it was the middle of the fast. It was the third day. This was the third day of the fast.
We even, the public.
The public got word. The public.
Understanding of why.
They were davening, but they were not davening with a full heart. Mordechai rallied the Klal Yisrael Lech Kenosis Kol HaYehudim. And they're davening and davening. And then in the middle of the davening, they get word that Esther is having a lavish party with Haman.
That was there at that point?
Yeah, everyone, of course.
Everyone.
The whole Klal Yisrael, of course, yes.
The populace.
Well, in Shushan, it's not clear that the whole world knew about it, because they just sent out the letter, but in Shushan they knew about it. And Mordechai only gathered the Jews, Lechnos kol ha-Yehudim ha-Nimtzim b'Shushan. The Jews in Shushan certainly at this point knew exactly what was happening, and they were davening only in Shushan. The non-Jews, not 100%. That was the double letter. That's what we discussed. It was a double letter. There was a letter.
What's going on here? What's going on? Why are they all together?
It's Pesach. They thought they were celebrating Pesach.
But they were fasting. They weren't celebrating. They were fasting.
They didn't know if they were eating
the opposite.
Okay, I don't know who. It's not clear who knew what.
Like everybody was invited, the non-Jews, their friends didn't invite them to a seder because they were all fasting.
The other side of the coin is that they thought, we have somebody on the inside.
On the inside, right? So
and we don't have to daven as in.
We don't have someone on the inside. She has abandoned us. If this woman who is Jewish at this critical moment in time when we're being mispallel is having a party with the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, obviously she has abandoned us. She only cares to save herself. She doesn't care about us.
Yeah, or even the other way around. What I'm suggesting is that the people think
yeah.
they have someone
on the inside, they're not going to be mispallel.
Not who's given up, but someone who's working for them on the inside, then they will not daven as intensively.
Exactly. That's exactly what the Gemara says.
They think she's gone over to the dark side, but because they think they don't have to.
They don't have someone, okay. But now that they see that someone is not being mishtadl on their behalf, so that causes them to intensify their prayers. This is answer number 6. Answer number 7. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kidei Sheyei Motzui Lo B'chol Eis. Simple. She didn't know exactly how things would play out. She wanted Haman to be available. She did not want Haman out of town. Right? Someone, they know. They keep tabs. So if you're always invited to this party, when I will say the words, Ish Tzar V'yev Haman Haroha, he will immediately be seized. If he's not at the palace, by the time they start searching for me, he's going to find out they're looking for me, he'll get on a plane and he'll be in the other part of the world in 2 minutes, and it will not be so easy to apprehend him. Okay, answer number 8. Answer number Rishimim ben Menasi Omer Ulai Yargish Hamakom V'Yaseh Lanu Nes. Okay, now what does it mean? So Rashi there explains that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees how the enemies of Klal Yisrael come together and they rejoice, it will anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, it's a very bizarre. I don't really have it's hard to have a real grasp on this reason. I'll read you the words of Rashi. Yargish HaKadosh Baruch Hu She'af Ani Mikareves Seneim Shel Yisrael. I also have to gather the Jewish people, inami yargish shanit slicha lehachanif rosh hazeh ulezalzel bichvodi. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I have to humiliate myself to such a degree to invite this evil person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see my pain and he will have rachmanis. Okay, but this is okay. That's an answer. I think number 8 and answer number 9. Rabbi Yeshua ben Krachya Omer Asper Leiparim Kadesh Sheyahorig Hu Vihi. What she wanted is Rashi there explains that there was a rule. Everyone knows this rule that if you have a law that was put forward by a lawmaker, and that architect of the law dies before the law goes into effect, it was an ancient custom, superstition, that it must be a bad law. And the law was annulled. So this was still on the book. So therefore, what Esther was trying to do was try to indeed have an affair with Haman. She was trying to show him affection in the palace. Who knows, they would sit down together, have drinks, and they touch each other, this and that. Achashverosh would see that these two people are having an affair, so what would he do? He'll kill them both. He'll kill us. It's suicidal. So good, I'll be killed, but who else will be killed? My partner in sin, Haman. If Haman is killed, then the law is, the Gezerah is annulled, is bottled. Okay, that's answer number 9. Answer number 10. Answer, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Melech HaPachon Hoya. Okay, he was bipolar. Or he had schizophrenia, or he had some other type of mental illness. He was a melech, he was a fickly king. And by doing so, it's going, I'll read you Rashi, the way Rashi explains. Melech hafach vachoyah, v'choyzer b'diburo. He's a flip-flop. He's a flip-flopper. That's what Achashverosh was. His campaign was built on flip-flopping. And therefore, Amra, I'm reading the words of Rashi, she said, Shema uchal lefatoysa ulohargo, maybe I will succeed. Indeed, I will succeed in convincing Achashverosh to mevatel the gzera. The im lo yehe mizumun. It's really the same answer that we said before. But if he's not going to be on site, if Haman is not going to be present on this site, ta'avor hashav yachzebo, he'll change his mind. By the time we go and apprehend Haman, Achashverosh will flip flop. He'll change his mind and decide not to kill Haman. So this is very similar to the previous idea. The only difference is the previous idea, Haman Achashverosh is not going to change his mind. It's just that we're not going to be able to kill, to carry out the punishment to Haman. In this interpretation, it's worse than that. If we're not going to be able to kill Haman immediately, there's a real concern that Achashverosh will change his mind. Now, after we've given over here, how many reasons? We've had 9 or 10. I lost track. I can't count so high. 10 reasons? After we've given 10 reasons, then the Gemara comes along and says, Omar Rabban Gamliel, after 10 reasons, Adayin Tzrichin Anu Limodoe. We still need the reason of the person from Modim, I think. Who is the Modoi? Rabbi Eliezer. The title of the Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Modoi Omer, Kin Osai, and that's why Rashi seemingly quotes only this reason. Rashi says, the Gemara gives many reasons, 10 reasons, many reasons, and then Rashi goes on to quote the reason of Rabbi Eliezer HaModoi, to create a degree of jealousy. Why jealousy? To weaken his position. If the king is jealous of Haman, if the Sarim are jealous of Haman, when Esther says the words, Ish tsar v'yayif Haman horo hazeh, it will be that much easier for Haman, Achashverosh, and the Sarim to agree to be mevatel the gzer, because he has been damaged. He has been damaged because he is a source of jealousy for everyone in the government. Omar, one more time, kin osoy b'melech, kin osehu kin oso basarim. She tried to create a degree of jealousy. Okay, and then comes one more reason, which is not reason number 12. Rabo Omar lifnei shever goin. She was helping out a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But before an enemy is defeated, before Hashem destroys the enemy, Hashem always elevates the enemy. This is a reality. Abayev rov demi travayu bechumam oshes. Bechumam oshes es mishtehem, which means this refer. That's the post that said by Baal Shetzar, is that when a person right before HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first elevates them to a very great degree of prestige. So here Esther was helping out HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol in elevating Haman. Esther had confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring about his downfall, and before a person reaches downfall, he reaches his peak of honor. So therefore, let me invite Haman, he'll be honored, he'll be in all the newspapers, his picture will be taken, and then I'm going to say, Ish tsar v'yayif Haman ha-razeh, and it will come his downfall. The Gemara, so we've gone through a grand total of 12 reasons why Esther, what? Say again? This is the Gemara. This is the Gemara Masech, the Megillah Daf Tesvav Amid Beis. Okay, I just mamash quoted word for word of the Gemara, and he injects here some of the words of Rashi. 12 different reasons. After the Gemara on Tesvav says the 12 reasons, the Gemara says Ashkechei Rabba Bar Avua Li Eliyahu. Rav Barvu, he met Eliyahu Hanavi, Amalei Kiman, Chaz Esther, Va'av Dehochi. The Gemara presents 12 reasons. And the Gemara seems to imply that the Iker of the 12 is the 11th. The 11th, you know, the 11th is always the number of Esav. Interesting idea, because 11 is the Alufim of Esav is number 11. The Iker is to create jealousy. Which of the 12 reasons is the real reason? Please explain to us. Kiman Chaz Esther, of the Hachi, Amalei Eliyo Hanavi said, "Kikulu Tanoe Uchechulu Amoroe." They're all right. All of the above. Multiple choice question. All of the above. Esther had a kavana. Every single one of these 12 reasons why she invited Haman to this party. And fine. That concludes the piece of Gemara. Now the Mashah says the 13th reason, and this is more of a Kabbalistic reason. There is a halacha. There is a halacha that if a woman is a nida, okay, this is off the charts. if a woman is a nida and she walks between two men. So the rule is, if the two men, either she'll kill one of the two men, will die, or by walking to the two men, she will create a machlokes, a disagreement, a feud between these two men. So we know that v'tischalchal hamalkah me'od. When Esther received report that Mordechai is in a state of mourning and was informed of the gezerah, v'tischalchal hamalkah me'od, Chazal Darshan, we discussed this, melamed sheparsa Esther Nida. She became a Nida. Now that she is a Nida, she will walk. She will bring these two people to the party. She will walk in between these two individuals. And Chazal say, one of them will die, either Achashverosh or Haman. That will be enough to be Mevatel the Gezerah, because both of them signed the Gezerah. And the rule of government is, if one of the people who signed the law dies before the law is put into effect, the law is batel, or at least it will create an environment of machloikis between these two people, and that also will result in something happening where the malchus will come to an end, or one of them will die, and the gezerah will be batel.
I don't want to complicate things, but I thought you were 85 years old.
85 years old, and she's Sheparsa Nida. So how could it possibly be? Well, how could it?
85 is the new 20.
Well, that's the original question. How, why, what did Achashverosh see in her? Why would he want to marry an 85-year-old woman? That's the big mystery. Sheparsa Nida, so... Okay, but this is what the Marsha says. This is the Marsha. All right. Yes.
They needed Haman to be right nearby so they could take back the signet ring so they could make
knew that he still did. He still have it. Maybe he only had it momentarily. In order, when he sent letters. All right. Okay. All right. These are the main reasons. Now let's go back to the pasuk. Okay. Let's go back to the pasuk. Pasuk. Hey. Okay. Let's go further. Pasuk. Hey. Vayomer Hamelech. The Melech says, Maharu es Haman lasos es dvar Esther. So the Melech says, yes. Okay. I agree. I'm willing to come to the party quickly. Maharu, swiftly. Call Haman Lasos to fulfill Estevar Esther. Vayavo Hamelch v'Haman el Hamishtasher Ostas Esther, and both of them indeed came to the party which Esther made prepared.
That's why she said share a Sisi, because it was already prepared.
Already was prepared. Already was done. All ready to go. And also, as Rashi told us, it's not such a big deal because the Mishnah was Yayin, the Ikar Mishnah. So therefore, the wine is not that. There's not much preparation and need that goes into preparing wine. Let's see the Targum. Okay, there is no Rashi. The Targum pasuk hey vavamar malko ochiu. The king said ochiu yos Haman. Ochiu means maharu. Swiftly summons Haman leMevadios Piskam Gezeras Esther to fulfill the request of Esther. The Almalka, the request of Esther concerning the Almalka of Haman leMishtayo di Avdas Esther, which she has prepared. Pasuk Vav. Now, Vayomer Hamelach leEsther beMishtei Hayayin Ma Shelasech VeYinosin Lach UMaba Koshosich. What is Umaba Koshosich? Ad Chatzia Malchus VeSios. Same thing we learned yesterday. But here he asks words of Sheela. Yesterday, when he first met Esther, he said Malach. Here he is when Ma Sheela Sech. It will be granted to you. Umaba Koshosich Ad Chatzia Malchus VeSios. It will be done. As we mentioned yesterday, the Sheela is a small request. A Bakasha is a large request. A She'ela, if it's only a small request, there's a guarantee it will be granted. A large request, I will grant, but only Ad Chatzi HaMalchus, as we mentioned yesterday in the Rashi, either it means the base HaMikdash is off limits, or Pshutoi, I will give you up to half of the assets of the kingdom. It will be done. Let's take a look at Pasuk Vav in Rashi. There is no Pasuk in the Rashi. Let's see the Targum. Targum is over here a bit long. The king said to Esther in the party, Ma Mosh el Tech Esther Malkiso Uma Bo Usich Afilu in ant ba'aya ad palgus malchusi, even if you won't have the malchus, tisabed ba'usich l'chod, it will be granted. L'chod, but the only thing I cannot grant you is living the base of Mukdisha, it was written in the previous passage yesterday. I cannot grant you the rebuilding of the base of Mikdash. The ihu ko'em b'tchum palgus malchusi, because this, it stands in the center of my malchus. Lo etain lich, I will not grant it to you. He's repeating what we learned over here, the Mamash is almost word for word from what we learned here in the pasuk from yesterday. Dehechdein kaimis b'shvua, because I took an oath to the three governors of Eretz Yisrael, who was Legeshem Arova, and the Sanbalat Choro Noah, and the Tovia Avda Amo Noah. I promised them, I took a shvua, Dilo lebishpach lebivne yosei dilma yim redun bi yehudoe. I promised them that I will not allow the Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt, because there's a real concern that the Jewish people will rebel against me.
So she was Jewish. Why do you even say this?
Why did he say this? Because this was the issue. So we discussed this yesterday. This was the issue of the time. And even though she did not know that she was Jewish, he did know that Esther was very close with Mordechai. They were very well. He was the one who raised her, and he was obviously surprised. That's why you're coming to make a request. Obviously, someone put you up to this. Who would put you up to make a request from me? Seemingly, Mordechai. What's the only thing on Mordechai's agenda? The rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. So she does not have to be Jewish in order to advocate for the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, especially since she was very close with Mordechai Yehudi. He suspected this, and he told her that is off limits. Everything else is fair game. Okay, next pasuk. Vatan Esther Vatoimar. Esther responded, she raised up her voice and she said, She'elasi uva koshosi, indeed I will reveal my request. In other words, according to what we mentioned yesterday, it's all the same. By me, a small request is a large request. What for you, what? I only have one request. My whole essence is what I will present at the second party. And there's no difference between she packages the two words together. Let's see pasuk. Let's see the Targum pasuk Zion. Pasuk Zion in the Targum says the Asivas Esther. Esther answered. The Amaras, she raised up her voice. The Amaras, she responded. Asivas means she responded, and she said, Lei ano va'aya palgus malchusa bishelti v'lo Vinyan base. I demand.
Less.
That's not what I'm asking for. I don't want half of your malchus b'shelosi. The law vinyan base mikdusha b'vusi, and I don't want the binyan base mikdusha as my b'usi. So Targum has a lot of embellishment. He's saying the small request that I do not want. What I do not want is half of your malchus, half of your assets, and the bigger request is the binyan base hamikdash. That also I do not want. So what then do I want? I want you to come to another party. Now, it doesn't say this all in the pasuk. She says she'ela si'uva koshosi, which simply means that my request is that you come to another party. Targum over here is saying she's come to say, don't worry, I don't want that. I want something else. Now, by the way, this pasuk is a very interesting minog, is that when you lay in the Megillah, you do not lay in this with the regular trop. When you lay in this pasuk, you lay it with a different nigun. In fact, you lay it with a zarka munach segor. Ramayevsky, are you feeling this? This pasuk. Vatane sevatomar she'ela si. Right. But that's not the trop. That's not the trop. So what?
It's
what?
It's an
eicha. No, it's not eicha. It's I think, a zarka munach segor. So Zarka Munach Segel. So I do not know why. I always wonder why. What is the significance of this pasuk? Why we changed the trop here? Maybe we'll come across it a little bit later. I do not know.
Halfway, I think.
What?
It's halfway in the
Megillah.
I think so.
That's why.
I
don't know. Okay, we have to keep that in mind. The unique meaning of laying these words in a different nigun. Obviously, there is something very important. You want to say it fits well with the targum. If you want to tell me that the nigun is a nigun of echa, she'elasi uva koshosi, then it fits very well with the targum. The targum says, "I'm not asking for the base." And that I acknowledge. It's not going to be rebuilt. So that makes a lot of sense. It's not, and that's the tragedy of the poor miracle. The poor miracle did not take us all the way. The only thing the poor miracle accomplished was that we were spared, we were allowed to continue to live in Galus, but it did not bring the Geula Shalema. So that's tragedy. So therefore, she'elo si uva koshosi targum. I'm not asking for that. I acknowledge that's not going to happen. That's ochendvei. That's a very sad state of affairs, and indeed, it's worthy to say these words in the nigun of Eicha.
Even I am resigned to it at some level.
Okay, so that really, but that's I never realized that's the nigun of Eicha. I thought it was she'elo si uva was the munach. Zarka Segal. So it's the same nigun. Okay, so it was kedai to come today to for me at least to learn this chiddush very good. The targum is explaining the nigun of she'ela si vakoshasi. Now next imot sasi. So what does she say? Imot sasi bein de'enei hamelach v'ima melach tov lo seis es she'ela si v'lasos es vakoshasi. Yavo to give you to grant what I really want. Yavo hamelach v'haman el hamishte asher es elohem. So here she presents, come to a party tomorrow, and there again with Haman, the Melech the Haman, both of you should come to the Mishnah which I will make tomorrow for both of you. Here it says Lohem, before it said Lo, here it says Lohem. What's the difference? I do not know. I will make tomorrow. I will make, but it's going to be lohem u'mochor esek kedvar hamelach, and I will reveal to you the dvar hamelach. And Rashi says, "What's the dvar hamelach is going to reveal?" So you would think it's going to be the dvar hamelach is the bakashi and the sheilasi. No, the dvar hamelach is this request that you've made for me for already 5 years. Ma shebikashta mimeni kol hayomim legalois l'cha es ami v'es meiladati. Good news, Achashverosh. Tomorrow is the big day when I will finally reveal to you my lineage. So that's how that is called the Devar HaMelech. Let's see the Targum Pasuches. Im alham im in if Ashkoches Rachamim beinei Malka. If I find favor in the eyes of the king. Now notice here in Pasuches it says Motzasi Chein. When and Esther first met Achashverosh. Now when she first entered into the palace, into the Shar HaMelech, uninvited, we mention this. It says there. What was the pasuk? Vahi pasuk beis. Vahi chiros melech asher hamalka melech bechaser nosa ochein. So there it was nosa ochein, and here she's saying im matzasi chein. Matzasi chein is a much lower level of chein than the siyas chein. Siyas chein means in a large measure. Mitzias chein means a small measure. So obviously, so when she's speaking, she speaks with humility. When you speak with humility, you don't say, "I hope I have a lot of chen before you. I'm hoping I can find a little chen before you." Just an expression of humility, but it's not the same thing as.
Let me build a base of Migdash. At least my job is now.
Small
to
thing, save Klal Yisrael, small amount of chen.
Yeah.
So Metzias chen is not the same level as Nosa chen. Let's see the Targum. Im Ashkochis Rachamin beinei Malka v'in al Malka Yishpar v'is proper. Tan to grant Yosh Elti Ulmevad Yos Bousi Yeul Malkov Haman Lemishtaya, let Haman and the king enter to the party, the Aved Lahon Biramsha. Biramsha, now what is Ramsha? This is a very important word, in the evening. Ramsha means in the evening. Where did it say in the pasuk that the party is going to be in the evening? Where does it say that in the pasuk? So here, I saw some of the Farshim very disturbed, and they tried to use this to figure out exactly when it happened, when exactly the party happened. Okay, but let's leave it with that. It just says over here, you're going to come tomorrow in the evening, ulamachor, and tomorrow, ano avda, kipiskam gezeras malka, I'm going to follow the law of the king. Now, what exactly does all this mean? So I think some of you even want to say that the party is going to be tonight. Read the words literally. They should come lemishta da'avid lechon biramsha in the evening, and tomorrow, the following morning, I'm going to do kipiskam gezerah smalka. Which gezerah? Which law? I don't have answers, but. The party, so the Chazal tell us, Balayla hu nodod hashnas melech, the party was when? Was by day, seemingly, right? The party was the following morning. I mean, this request, I want you to come tomorrow, took place Erev Pesach. Or did it take place? Well, that's the big question. The first day, 14, that's the question, the machlokes. Did it take place the 3-day fast? Was it 14, 15, 16? Was it 13, 14, 15? Or was it 15, 16, 17? The Targum said explicitly that it was 16. It was 15, 16, 17. The Targum said that. Back a few psukim. Rashi said it was explicitly, it was 14, 15, 16. We know that Balaylahu Nodadash Nasamelech was the night of the Seder, was the night of Pesach. Was it the night of the first night of Pesach, or was it the second night of Pesach? I think Stushanim said it was the second night of Pesach. This was in Shushan HaBira. It was far from Yerushalayim. Already at this point in Yerushalayim, they were once again with Makadesh Alpiriya. Once Nehemiah returned with Ezra and Nehemiah, they returned to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They already started building the Beis HaMikdash. They but they still did that's as far as reading the Megillah. But as far as being knowing when they were Mekadesh to Levana, that was not known. So they observed Pesach both nights, Sveik of the Yoma. So seemingly they observed the Laila, who was the second night of Pesach. Okay, let's not go into the details. But the point over here is, according to the Targum over here is throwing in something which is very confusing, and the commentators are confused, and they discuss this. He adds in here that I want you to come over here to the party Biramsha at night, and I'm going to fulfill the request you make of me tomorrow. Ulumachar ese avid kipiskam gezeras malka. Rashi says that the Dvar HaMelech is to reveal my lineage. Targum does not say that. And if you would not see Rashi, you would assume Ulumachar ese kidvar HaMelech is tomorrow, I will tell you what my requests are. You've granted me an opportunity to have my requests fulfilled. Tomorrow I will tell you what those requests are. That would seemingly be the simple interpretation of the pasuk, but that's not what Rashi says. And the Targum is a bit confusing. He's not telling us what it's referring to, but does also indicate that there was a break, that these two things would not happen at the same time. The party would be at night, and my request would be the following morning. And the Bali Musar here, they say something very, very interesting. They say, Achashverosh, he in this pasuk, Valderch Turosh, represents the Sitra Achra. He represents the Satan. He represents the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is always trying to convince us to do Averos. He demands, let me help you. And Esther responds, Umochor Ese Kidvar HaMelech. This is a technique that when the Yetzirah tells you to do an Avera, tell him, don't tell him I'm not going to do the Avera. If you tell the Satan I'm not going to do the Avera, it doesn't always work. Because he has such a grasp, such a hold on you, you're not going to be able to agree. But if you push him off, the technique is, okay, I'm overwhelmed. The taiva to do the Avera is so great, I'm going to do it. But you know what? At least, this is a technique that the Bali Musar give, and they read it into this pasuk. They say, push it off. Umochar ese. I won't do the Avera today, I'll do the Avera tomorrow. And when it comes tomorrow, you push off to the next day. And hopefully by delaying it, a person's taiva is dulled, he comes to his senses, and he holds back and does not do the Avera. The first one to invent this tactic was none other than Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, when he met Esav said, Lou, let's travel together. I'll give you some of my men. They will accompany you, and they will help you with your children, with all of your possessions. So, and what is Yaakov? Yaakov says, no, I don't want your help. You go ahead. I don't want you to give me men and assistance. You go ahead, go in front of me, and I will meet up with you. Do we ever find in Chumash that Yaakov Avinu, he met up with Esav? No. Never. You go ahead, I'll meet you there. Push him away, push him off. I'm coming tomorrow. You go ahead, I'll see you tomorrow. Did he ever come and meet up with Esav? We don't find anywhere in Chumash that Yaakov Avinu met Esav. He pushed him off, you go ahead, I'm behind you, we'll meet each other. This is a technique. in Golos that when the Umos Olam try to convince Klal Yisrael to do things which are not in our best interest, Ma'aseh Similar Bonim, to tell the Umos Olam flat out, no, we're not willing to go along with you in this plan because it's against our religion, it's against our Hashkafa. Telling them flat out no does not always work. But if you tell them, all right, we're working on it, we'll consider it tomorrow, the next day, that is a technique which is rooted in Chumash. Go in front of me, I'll catch up to you, and here as well, umachor eseh kidvar hamelech, we push off the Yetzar until the next day. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk.
Why did she postpone it for another day? Why did she tell them that day?
More intrigue. Again, that's the big mystery. The more to greet up, the intrigue gets greater and greater. It's she's playing with their minds. She's playing with their minds. Lahavdil, you know, Havdil Elif Alfi Avdalis, they say about Trump. So Trump, they say this. Everyone is in such shock. How could he still be a serious candidate after all of the crazy things that he says? So obviously he knows how to play with the media. He knows he has some insight, or it's just mazel, or it's just good luck. He knows how to play with the media to say things that psychology. But Yetzei Haman what? Yeah, so Haman is going to his mind. It's getting to him. Okay, so and obviously this was their plan. So double plan. So and actually there is a medrash. There is a medrash that says what her plan was. Her plan was they compare it to Purim is compared to Yom Kippurim. Yom HaKippurim is a relationship between Purim and Yom HaKippurim. On Yom HaKippurim, it's not one day, it's 2 days. Erev Yom Kippur is part of Yom HaKippurim. The Pasuk says that you should fast on the ninth day. Ach b'tisha l'chodesh bo erev. So the question is, why does the Pasuk refer to Yom Kippur the ninth day in the evening? Just say on the tenth day. So Chazal Darshan kol ha'oichel batishi. If you have a su'ud on the ninth day, ki'ilu hisane b'tishihi v'asir. It's as if you fasted 2 days in a row. So I saw it in one of the Mefarshim, the Midrashim, is that was part of her technique. There are two different parties. There was the party erev, the big day, and the big day. The big day was Purim. The day, well, that wasn't the calendar day. The day when she said the words Ish Tsar Vayev Haman Haro Hazeh. But then there was the day before, and the day before was the Hachana, was the build up. The day before this first party corresponds to Erev Purim, and the day when she said Ish Tsar Vayev Haman Haro Hazeh, where she takes the Satan, she takes Amalek, and she destroys it. The Soril Azazel is slaughtered. Is Yom Kippur itself. The Gemara says that they will prepare the Shnei HaSeirim Erev Yom Kippur. They didn't first go look for the Seirim on Yom Kippur. You have to have two of them which are twins. The preparation was done Erev Yom Kippur. And the Medrash says that the Seirim, the Satan, is flattered. The Satan knows from last year that they offer a carbon echad l'Hashem v'echad l'Azazel. One of the seer is going to go l'Hashem, and one is going to go l'Azazel, which represents the Sitra Achra. So the Satan is flattered. Look at this. I'm so chashev. I'm equal to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a technique in order to confuse the Satan. Erev Yom Kippur, he shouldn't be mekadreg on Klal Yisrael. He will be intoxicated with kovod. You intoxicate the Yetzirah, the Satan, Erev Yom Kippur, with honor by showing him you're equal to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But then comes Yom Kippur. What do? Echad LaHashem, and the one LaZazel is not offered as a sacrifice. It's thrown off the cliff in a disgraceful way to show that you are going to be obliterated together with this animal. That technique, that process of Erev Yom Kippur leading into Yom Kippur is paralleled by these two parties. Erev, the real party, is the day when she's going to say the Dvar HaMelech Ish tsar ve'yev hamon haro hazeh. The day before is the day of Hachana, is where she's inflating the ego of Haman by inviting him to the party. That's what I saw. Let's go one more pasuk. One more pasuk over here. It says Vayetz Haman by Mahus Sameach v'Toyv Leiv. Haman leaves on this day. The Sameach v'Toyv Leiv, the great sense of Simcha v'Toyv Leiv. Chicharos Haman. It's Mordechai b'Shar Melech v'Leikam v'Leizam. He made when he sees that Mordechai refuses to stand and does not shake before him. Vayimolei Haman al Mordechai chema, and Haman was filled with anger against Mordechai. Rashi, pasuk. But there is no Rashi on this pasuk test. Let's see the targum. Targum unefak Haman milavas malka. He goes out. Haman goes forth from biyomahahu. He goes forth from the company of the king, on biyomahahu chadei uvidach liba, in a state of great joy. Chadei is simcha. Uvadach liba, his heart was glad. The chad and when chazon. This is a long targum here, telling us over here the whole story. The chad and when chazon haman yas mon chavios taflaya de asikun bipimskami araisa, and the kinderlach, and he saw the children that were learning, they were oisek in bipimskami araisa bis sanhedrin. They were sitting in the Sanhedrin and they were studying Torah. The Avdas Lohon Esther Bisra Malka. Now here is a lot of interesting information. Esther Hamalka sponsored a building, a Sanhedrin, right outside the gate of the king. Can you imagine this? At this point in time, it was still not known that she was Jewish. But yet, because she was raised by Mordechai, she gave him $1 million to build the building. And in that building was located, was housed the Sanhedrin. And there was a cheder. And Mordechai was sitting in this Sanhedrin at this point in time with the children, studying Torah in this building. Bisra Malka, Mordechai lokom min kodom an dirotei. And Mordechai, still at this point in time, when the gzeir was gone into effect, and Haman was elevated, was honored to come to the party, was invited to a second party, he still refused to bow down to the idol, v'lo resas minei, and he refused even to twitch. Even if you don't want to bow down to a person, at least you should show some degree of derech eretz, some degree of respect. Mordechai had absolutely no regard for Haman. Ad kdekach Elohein, instead of bowing and instead of at least twitching to show that at least I have respect, what did Mordechai do? He extended his foot. Peshat yos rigle yiminei. He extended his right foot. He pulled up his pants. Vachvele, and showed him shtar zabinta deizdabein le. He showed him, attached to his foot, he always kept with him the document, the deed, that said, the bill of sale, that you, Haman, are my slave. Let's not make any mistake about our relationship. You are my slave. Is that ben le bitulma, that you, years ago, sold yourself to me as a slave, bitulma, for a piece of bread. Bitulma de lechem, for a basket of bread. The michtava beistar kelile, and was written on a document, kol kovel arkovusei, right opposite his knee, min yad, period. Min yad, immediately, when he saw this, the kif rugzei, Haman was filled with anger, vismalei Haman alaivei Mordechai ruscha, and was in fury against Mordechai. So over here, we learn over here, Targum tells us over here a new insight, that there was a Sanhedrin that was built right opposite the gate of the king, and Mordechai was sitting and learning with the Talmidim Torah in this gate. Haman passes, he sees Mordechai. Mordechai refuses to bow down to the idol, refuses to even shake, and instead extends his right foot, reveals the deed that claims that Haman is his slave, and that he sold himself years ago for a loaf of bread. He sold himself to Mordechai, and Haman is now in rage. Now the Mepharshim explain, why was he really in rage? Because he was very knowledgeable of halacha, and he knew the pasuk Hakol Kol Yaakov VeHayadayim Yidei Esav, which Chazal interpret that Kol Zman, that the coil is the coil of Yaakov, it's impossible for there to be the Yadayim Yidei Esav have no shlit over Klal Yisrael, who when he saw here that the Talmidim, the students, were learning Torah, and he heard the Kol Yaakov, he realized something is wrong. He realized his plan will not possibly go into effect, and this is why he was in the real reason why he was in a state of rage. To see the Kol Yaakov in full force, things are not going to go his way. Okay, we'll stop over here.